My guest today is Cecil Philip. Cecil, how you doing?
Doing pretty good, David. What's going on?
I'm having a great time here at that conference Wisconsin.
You know, it's my first time being here. I've never been to Wisconsin before.
Never been to Wisconsin?
I've never been. But what? When I told all my friends I was coming here, everybody asked me about cheese.
Oh, it's a very cheesy state.
Yeah, I guess so. So I got to go out and try the cheese curds and stuff like that. I haven't gotten a chance to yet, but probably a little bit later today.
We'll see if we make that happen. Yeah, I'm surprised there wasn't any at lunch today.
Yeah.
If you guys go to Wisconsin, cheese, beer, and sausage. And Packer fans.
Yep.
And you just started a new job, right?
I did. So just about 2 weeks ago. So I'm a cloud developer advocate for Microsoft now.
Excellent. What kind of things are you working on?
So right now, in general, my job is really to make sure we're like that conduit between the community and the product team. So, you know, we'll come out to events like this, and make sure we get that feedback and take it back into the product to make sure we can make it a little bit better. Also, another thing that we're pushing a lot right now is the docs.microsoft.com. So we just launched two dev centers. We launched the .NET SDK for Azure Dev Center and also the Node.js Dev Center. So a lot of cool stuff that we're doing there, a lot of tutorials, quick starts. You know, anything that you need to do to go in and get started with Azure with, you know, .NET or Node.js, you can go in and do it today.
That's interesting. There's been documentation on Microsoft sites for a long time.
Yeah.
Has that changed recently?
So before, you'd see a lot of docs on MSDN. So yes. What we're doing now is we're kind of changing the way that we're doing documentation. So one thing is the documentation is all open source. So not only could you go on and you can see the docs, but you can edit the docs, you can make requests.
So even if you don't work for Microsoft, you can edit those documents.
Right, of course. So right on the right side of the documentation, you'll see there's an edit button.
Okay.
And you just hit edit. It takes you to the GitHub page. And then you can just go in and you can edit the docs if you want to. So you can change typos, you could add code samples, and, you know, all of that type of stuff.
Wow, this is totally new. It's just the last few years that we've open sourced some of the code that we're doing.
Yeah, we've been open sourcing tons of stuff.
Tons of stuff, that's new. I don't know if you've been following Microsoft, say, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We never do that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a completely different Microsoft today.
This is a big push. And now we're actually open sourcing documentation.
Yeah.
I wonder, are other companies doing that?
Not that I can think of. I think we're definitely being a pioneer in that space.
Okay.
You know, and again, tons of our customers are online, you know, going through the docs, making changes, and so...
What about the site itself? Is there upgrades to the way the documentation is structured?
So again, as of today, the documentation we're moving away a little bit from MSDN, and so docs.microsoft.com is like a new, completely different experience.
What about the ability to find things within the documentation? That's always a frustration that I've personally had with a lot of Microsoft documentation, but any documentation.
Right. So no, we definitely have the ability. You can come in, you can search, you can filter out for different topics. And then when you go to the main page for the documentation, we have different categories set up. So you could select Azure, you could select Office 365, you could select C#, or, you know, .NET, anything that you want to learn about. And it'll take you into those specific sections. And then you could filter out more from there if you want to.
What kind of information is in there? Is it just... the technical resources about, you know, here's an API and here's the parameters to pass in and get out? So, or is it more detailed than that?
So there's a lot of stuff in there. So we have quick starts, which are, you know, sub 5 minute quick exercises you can go in and kind of get started really quickly.
I'm a big fan of those.
We also have tutorials, which are a little bit longer.
Okay.
So you can more get into the details of how certain things work. And, there's a little bit more in-depth instruction there. We also have some videos there, too. So we have some videos that you could watch. If you don't want to sit down and read text, you could just sit down and take a look at some of the videos and see how to get started.
Screencasts that walk through some of the tutorials?
More so, we have some videos that were done in Channel 9, actually. So they're done in the studio. And so, as for instance, if you go to the .NET SDK for Azure, there's a video like right there in the front page, you know, the first experience that you get. So it's a really good way for us to kind of have different types of documentation and different types of ways of learning about things.
Oh, yeah. Like the Azure Friday videos. I'm a big fan of those.
Yeah, exactly.
I love them. They're small, they're consumable, and they just cover one topic, like this show.
Yeah, and they're really focused.
Also,
if you wanted to get reference documentation, if you wanted to know about API parameters and those types of things, we have that type of documentation too.
You also have an online presence, don't you?
I do. So me and my co-host, Rishi Rump, we have a show called Away from the Keyboard.
It's a podcast.
It is a podcast. Excellent. So you can get us on iTunes. We're also on Google Play Music. I think we're at a couple other places too. Oh, we're on SoundCloud. So you can get us on SoundCloud too.
Oh, do you have a theme to this podcast?
Yeah. So what we do in the show is we try and talk to different folks that are in the technology industry, and we talk to them about everything except technology.
Interesting. Technologists talking about non-technology
stuff. About non-technology. Well, here's the cool thing about that is that everybody that builds technology, everybody has a story, right? Everybody has, you know, maybe I...
Maybe a hobby, for example.
I have a hobby, or, you know, I like woodworking, or, you know, I like doing CrossFit, or video games, whatever the case is.
Right.
You're an author, you do courses, some of those types of things. So we really try and find out the story behind the person. You know, how did you get into technology? Why is it interesting to you? What are some of the other passions that you have? Do you have, you know, family? And again, do you have artwork that you do? Like some of those interesting pieces that you really don't get to hear about a lot of the time.
Tell me about some of the more interesting stories you've heard.
Sure. So one of the first episodes we did, we had a model from Miami.
A model.
And she was changing careers and decided that she wanted to get into programming. So we had an interesting conversation about that, about, you know, it's definitely a lifestyle change, you know, definitely going into a different, completely different space.
Oh, yeah.
So what was that like? And, you know, what was the learning experience like for her? So that was pretty interesting. Another one of my favorite episodes was with Garrett Swinopol. So he's a SQL Server professional.
Okay.
And Garrett's from South Africa.
Oh.
I've never been to South Africa before.
Me too.
So we spoke about...
I've been to the Kalahari, which is, I'm assuming, is exactly like Africa.
It probably is. There's animals
there's
lions
running
around.
Elephants right behind
all
us.
All kinds of stuff, right?
They're not real elephants.
But so I'd never been to Africa before. So Gareth, he told us about the South African wines and the grapes they have there, some of the South African cuisine. So that was really interesting. So he was kind of like our tour guide throughout the country. So it was pretty cool.
Very cool. How long have you been doing this?
We've been doing this for about 2 years now.
Uh-huh. And how many shows so far?
We're at 70 shows. So we do maybe about like 3 episodes a month.
Oh, that's great. Where is that? Where do you find that?
Excuse me?
Where it's online somewhere.
Yeah, it's online. So you can find us on SoundCloud.
Okay.
We're also on iTunes. I'm also on Google Play Music.
Okay. And who you're doing it in person, remotely? What's the...
So what we usually do is we have our guests come and we talk to them online. So I'll come to conferences like these, for instance, and you know, I'll meet different folks. We'll have conversations, and if they're interested in being on the show, we'll have them schedule up.
And okay, then, so you don't record it at the conference. You go home and record
sometimes
it.
We do, sometimes we don't. It all depends on, you know, if they have the equipment and, you know.
Did you bring it this week?
No, we didn't. And plus, it's just me. My co-host didn't come with me.
Oh, either, I said, so you could borrow mine if you want to.
See, if I knew you were coming, then we could have worked it out.
Next time
we didn't
that.
This time.
And tell me a little bit about the, this is a technology show, so tell me about some of the technology involved in producing the show.
Sure. So we record all our shows on Skype. Well, let me not say that. We started recording our shows on Skype. Recently, we've been trying out this technology called Zencastr.
Zencastr, okay.
And Zencastr is a web-based recorder. So everybody connects to the same website. You know, we'll have a recording room, and then it'll record your audio, my audio, and, you know, the other person's audio. So now we get 3 streams of audio. It makes it a little bit easier for us to edit, because now we can put those pieces together. And let's say if me and you are talking over each other, for instance, we can cut that piece out, for instance. And so it kind of just makes editing a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah, that
plus
does
it's all online too.
I'm doing that now. This is a relatively recent addition to my hardware, and it records 2 tracks, one for you and
one for me. Oh, it does? Oh, that's very
and
cool.
And that helps a lot.
Yeah, so we have one that's not as fancy. We only get 1 track when we do in-person edits.
Oh, okay. But you could still do cut out one of the speakers, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't use it much as much for that, but I do have sometimes when, like, if I'm holding my microphone here and my guest is holding it here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or
the one of us has
a louder voice than the other.
Right.
That can be an issue that now I can address by
sure.
by changing the levels of just one of us.
Right. But it's been a great passion project for us. You know, it really started a few years ago when we have a user group that we work with. And, you know, we want to find a way to continue the conversations in between those user group meetings.
Right.
Because, you know, it's, you know, if we meet once a month, it's, you know, 3 weeks before I see you again.
Right.
So, you know, how can we continue having those conversations? And that kind of turned into us, you know, going out into conferences and meeting other people and having them come on and tell their stories.
Ah, I see.
Because, again, everybody's story is different. And so I think it's very inspiring for some people, particularly young folks, particularly newcomers and, you know, people that, you know, just don't know. To find out, this person is just like me, and he had the same problems that I did, and he went through the same scenarios that I did, so that means that I could do it too, right? And some of those feats that we see, some of those people that we look up to, they're very achievable, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been actually impressed with that since I started getting involved in this community, how approachable people are.
Yeah, exactly.
Even the I'll put finger quotes around, even the famous
the famous
people,
folks,
you know,
right?
People that are, I say the quotes are because they're famous in this context. They come to a conference and everybody wants to sit next to the Richard Campbells of the world or the Scott Hanselmans of the world. And I've met those guys, that they're very approachable, very down to earth, and if you have a question for them, they're happily sit and answer it patiently.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, someday I hope to be famous, and I hope to.
Well, you're famous right now. I'm on your show.
On this show, yeah. And I have literally tens of viewers now, and so
you're in Channel 9, man. You must have like hundreds of viewers.
It hasn't changed me.
Okay.
We'll see. Now that you've been on my show.
We'll see the ratings go up a little bit.
You'll see
bit,
the ratings. Right? You can plug my show on yours and vice versa.
We can do, you know what we can do? You can be a guest on my show.
I would love that. That would be awesome.
That's done deal. We're going to make it happen.
All right. Let's check out.
Deal.
Thank you so much, Cecil, for being on my show.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. I hope all of you come and check out our podcast. It's a great show where we talk about different folks in the technology field, and we don't talk about technology at all. We have tons of our friends, coworkers, family members, you know, maybe even people that we just met, all our colleagues. So definitely check us out at awayfromthekeyboard.com. You can look for us on iTunes, Google Play Music, and we're also on SoundCloud.